First Corinthians, if you would. First Corinthians, chapter 4. That's where we're going to be this morning. You looked at the walls, any on your way in and out, you've probably seen these posters hanging up for Stewardship Month. There's a verse on there we've been looking at and what we've been studying. What we're going to be looking at here is a theme verse here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 is where we're going to be reading. Very short verse, but it's a mouthful. And it's a lot to learn in one verse. And that's what we were looking at this past, or this whole month, and the idea of stewardship. And to be honest with you, we go through this every year. We're probably not repeating anything you haven't heard before. But isn't it something how even when you read the Word of God, a passage that you've read 100 times before, something new jumps out at you. And that's why we keep repeating it and we keep going through stewardship. And I know personally, I learn something new every year with it. And just pray that you do as well. This verse here, we probably know by memory, but I want us to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, moreover, it is, what I want you to note that next word. What is it? Required. Required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's a requirement. It is a command of God. This idea of stewardship that we go through, it's not just a recommendation on how you can handle things that God's given you. No, it is required of us. It's a command from God that we learn how to be a good steward and make that a part of our life day after day after day. You know, as we look at this month and this concept of stewardship, this command that's been given to us, I think we pretty much have a good idea of what stewardship is, what we should be doing, okay? What it means to be a good steward of our finances, a good steward of our time, of our talents. And, you know, as we go on down to the truth and our testimony, we go through those things and we learn it. We understand what it is. But I don't know, one thing that I like to focus on, when I understand what something is and I have a hard time doing it, I need to learn what's keeping me from obeying God. What is it that's getting in the way? You know, stewardship is one of those things. I honestly believe most of us, if not all of us, have a good handle on what it is, the concept of it. But what is it that causes us to wrestle with it from day to day? Being a good steward of what God has given us, of whatever resource that is. And this morning, you know, as we look at this verse, moreover, it is required in stewards. It's a command given to us. So how can we better obey this requirement? How can we live our lives in such a way, day after day, where the things that hinder us from being a good steward, we can get victory over that? How can we do that? And I want us to just look this morning. The title of the message is The Issues of Stewardship. What causes us to have an issue with it? With not being able to obey it. Okay? And maybe I hope, I pray that this will be some sort of encouragement to you to help you with this morning. The Word of God speaks often about stewardship. Now, it's not always word for word called stewardship, but the concept, the principle is taught all throughout the Bible. And we've read many of those. This past Wednesday, Pastor started preaching the sermons there in Exodus. What is that in thine hand? Now, stewardship is not talked about by the word stewardship in that passage, but it's an excellent lesson of stewardship through there. And, you know, it's taught throughout the Bible that way. However, like many things in our lives, sometimes we just misunderstand what stewardship is, or we have the wrong idea about it, or something gets in the way, like what we're talking about here, of us being a good steward day after day. Things get in the way. Things get into our minds. It's amazing how not necessarily the devil, but our own flesh will make an excuse of why we don't have to be a good steward in this area or in that area. You know, we reason it away. You know, we can make an excuse for anything, can't we? And when we think about it enough, stewardship is no exception to that. Many times we mentioned this already. When we think about stewardship, our money, there it is right there. Our minds automatically go to that topic of money, finances. That's a part of it. But in reality, it's a very small part of it. It's only a portion of it. Money matters is not the only thing that deals with stewardship. Stewardship goes way beyond that. God has called us to be a good steward. Now think about, let that idea sink in. It's not something that is just a recommendation that God gave you. If you want to be blessed by God, this is what you need to do. God has called us. He has commanded us to be a good steward. It goes beyond just that recommendation or, you know, if you do this, I'll bless you with this. We're called to be, just like we're called to be a witness. You know, we have Missions Month every October and we focus on missions. And by the end of that month, you have heard probably 50 times that month that God has called every single one of us to be a witness of the gospel. And that's so true. Well, just as much as we've been called to be a witness of the gospel, God has also called us to be a good steward, a faithful steward. In order for us to become proper, faithful stewards, we need to understand, just like you would with in battle with an enemy, what do you need to watch out for? It's one thing to know what your enemy does, but it's also, you know, it's good to know both sides of your enemy. Well, with stewardship, it's good to know what stewardship is, but there's also some things that can hinder our stewardship that come in from the other direction there, you say. What are some of those issues that can get in the way of us being a faithful steward? That's what we're looking at here this morning. The first issue I want us to look at, go to Psalm chapter 24 with me. Psalm chapter 24. And look in verse 1. The first issue we're looking at is the issue of ownership. Ownership. This is probably the biggest fight, primarily, that we deal with as Christians between us and God. Ownership. Look in chapter 24, look in verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world, and they that dwell therein. Who does that include? All of us. There's some other verses. I'll just read these to you. Psalm chapter 50, verse 10, it says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." Haggai chapter 2, verse 8 says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 says, "Behold, all souls are mine." This idea of ownership, what we need to understand, and we've heard this, and we learned this principle first and foremost, I think, when we talk about stewardship, how the steward is not the owner. The steward is not the owner. We look at that passage that talks about the Lord and how he gave the talents to the different stewards and what they did with them. Those talents did not belong to those stewards. They belonged to the Lord. In our lives, one of the things that the greatest obstacles that we have to deal with and fight with from day after day is getting the idea in our minds that, listen, we are not the owner, not even of ourselves. God is the owner. We're commanded to be the steward. Ownership. We look at God as the creator. And we understand that he owns, he made everything. That verse there in chapter 24, Psalms, the earth is the Lord's, but it's not just this physical realm that we see all around us, the trees and the universe, the stars, the moon. It's not just that. He goes on to say, and they that dwell therein. That's every single one of us. That is ourselves. And then we read again there in Ezekiel, all souls are mine, is what the Lord says. He owns everything. He made it. He has every right to it. In Psalm chapter 100, verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." We can go on and on with these verses that talk about how we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Of course, many times, we not only look at him as our creator, but we also look at him as the one crucified, talking about Jesus Christ. Specifically, in what we're talking about here this morning, he owns every single one of us as a believer, as a saved person. He bought us back. He redeemed us. We know that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, where it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of who? The Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." This idea of ownership, it goes on, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Several times in those two verses alone, he makes it clear to the believer, to the Christian, that listen, you are not your own. I own you, God says. You belong to me. Specifically, even our own bodies, not just our spirit, not just our soul, but our bodies belong to the Lord God. We are stewards then over that body, over that person. You know, when we stop and think about this in this passage here, you know, God owns my body. He owns my bride, my wife, my family. He owns the house I live in, the business I might own. He owns our finances. He owns our time. He owns our talents, our treasures, our testimonies. He owns the first place in our hearts. He owns the first day of the week. He owns the first 10% of our income. He owns the first part of our day. You think of how much belongs to God. And we're just made a steward over it. He owns it. So what is it that keeps us? We like to own things, don't we? Isn't it, you know, and I've heard a pastor just talked about this, I think, a week or two ago. Isn't it good if you've ever gone up to the bank and made that final payment on your car or on a house? You finally pay something off and you can say it's what? It's mine. You have the title in hand, right? And you've worked hard for it. You earned it. You took so many years to pay it off. And finally, you've got it done. It is yours. It's a good feeling, isn't it? We pride ourselves in that. Now, as a Christian, I understand. I hope we understand that really it belongs to God. But we pride ourselves as a human being and being the owner of something, being in control of it. Being able to do whatever you want with it because it belongs to you. It is your decision to do what you want with it. And I think when we get to the spiritual aspect, especially talking about stewardship here, where we don't own this body. We don't actually own any resources we have. They are given to us by God. And the Bible, we just read several verses, and there's many more that say that it all belongs to him. It is his. But sometimes if we're not careful, that this first issue right here, the idea of ownership. Ownership. God, I own myself. This is my body. We don't have to talk about that much. Isn't that what the news and what you hear in the news all the time these days, what the world teaches? It's your body. You make a decision what you want to do with it. That can't be any more against what the Word of God says. The Bible is clear that, listen, we are not our own. We've got to settle this issue of ownership to be a good steward with God, a faithful steward. I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. Everything I have belongs to God. And he's made me a steward over that. The next issue that we deal with many times, it follows right in line with ownership. Obedience. Obedience. Go to Luke chapter 6 with me. Luke chapter 6, and look in verse 46. The Lord asks a question here in his teachings. And look, just let this question that he asked sink in for just a second. Apply it to your life. Verse 46, it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You ever have your parents look at you and they've got that look? They got it down, especially mom. Mom always has that look down pat. Why don't you listen to what I'm telling you? Why do they say that? Because you're not what? You're not obeying, are you? They've evidently told you to do something and you're disobeying what they've told you to do. God looks at these folks and he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord? You proclaim me as your God, as your Lord, that you're supposed to be following me. And do not the things which I say." You know, God makes a mention here. Look, go a few pages further into chapter 16. Look what he says here, chapter 16, Luke chapter 16. Look in verse 13. This is a verse we've heard many times before. In fact, we use it during stewardship many times. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Listen, lordship, admitting that God is your owner, is linked directly to your obedience. Because when you realize that you are not your own, that you belong to the Lord, it follows right in line that you will obey God. But when we deal with that issue and we think, "Well, God, you own this part of my life, but I own this part. I'm not letting go of it." You know what's going to fall right in line with it is our disobedience to God. This issue of disobedience. If God is the owner, and we are convinced of that, then we had better do what he wants with his stuff, with his resources that he's given us. Doesn't that make sense? You know, when we stop and just think that through a little bit, if we admit that, you know, he's the owner, you wouldn't loan something to somebody else and expect them to do something with it that you told them not to do, would you? You ever rented a car? I had to rent a car a few weeks ago to come back from Florida. And, you know, some of the stuff on there that you have to sign off on that you won't do this and you won't do that. You know, you won't jump the car. You know, you won't drag race with the car. You ever read some of that fine print and some of the stuff? And I asked that. I said, "Man, this is kind of ridiculous, some of the stuff I'm having to sign off." And she goes, "Well, you'd be surprised what people do with it." You know, they have to tell you not to do those things, to abuse it. Well, when we just get to the point where we admit that God owns me, he owns my family, he owns my house, he owns my finances, he owns my talents, he owns everything, all the resources I have, it becomes a lot, I guess you can say it becomes a lot easier to obey what he wants you to do with those resources when you just admit that he's the owner of them. Our obedience, when we learn and we accept that he's the owner and we learn to start obeying him, how do we obey him? Well, first of all, by action. God meant, or Jesus was talking there, and he says, "Why do you call me Lord when you do not?" The action part of it. Our works should back up our obedience and admitting that God is the owner and who he is. That action part of it. We know what we're supposed to do. The question is, do we do it? We know we're to be a good steward. The question is, do you do it? Do you do what you need to do to be a good steward over what God has given you? Also comes in line with it is our attitude. Go to, I'll just read these to you. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Earlier in verse 6, it says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ." Listen to what it says here. Doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart. Our attitude. When we have a good attitude about obeying God, it will show in our stewardship. It'll be evident in it. And being a faithful steward there. Our timeliness has a lot to do with our obedience. You ever heard the phrase, delayed obedience is disobedience? Or something along that line there? Stewardship is not one of those things where we can say, God, right now I've got a lot of other things to take care of myself. So I'm going to need to use, whether it's finances or this resource or that resource, I'm going to need to use it the way I need to use it right now. Later on, I'll be a good steward of it. Good intentions, but it's delayed timeliness. It's still disobedience. God wants us to be a good steward now of what He has given us. So we see the issue of obedience can hinder us if we're not careful. And it's right tied directly into that issue of ownership. When we realize that God owns everything we have, it makes it a little bit easier to obey Him, doesn't it? And then the third issue that we see here is the operation of this here. Look in Matthew chapter 25 with me. Matthew chapter 25. Look in verse 21. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look in verse 21 and then down in verse 23 as well. Now this is the parable of the talents with the stewards here. And here we see near the end with the good steward. Look what it says here in verse 21. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Look down at verse 23. And his Lord has said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. When God teaches us stewardship throughout the Bible, He implies different objectives as well. When you got saved, and you've heard this before, when we get saved, the moment you get saved, does God immediately take you home? Obviously not. We're still here, aren't we? Why? Why didn't He? Why didn't He make it so that once we get saved and we know the Lord is our Savior, we know our sins are forgiven, hey, let's go on to heaven right now. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, not saying I want to die right now, but I'm just saying if the Lord came or took me home right now, I wouldn't complain at all. But He didn't, did He? When you got saved, life went on. Why? Because God has something for us to do. That comes into line here with what we're talking about. Since you got saved, have you been a good steward, a faithful steward over what that is that God has for you to do? God gave us some objectives. He gave us some reasons to, a purpose to live. We've been given gifts, the Bible talks about, to accomplish the desires of the Master. To accomplish what the Lord wants done. He's told us, and we don't have time to go through all the verses this morning, but there's passage after passage that tells us that when God calls us to do something, He gives us the abilities and the means to get it done. He has a purpose for us. Why? Because that's the desire of God. Specifically, when we talk about our testimony and our witness, a steward of the truth, when we go talking about things like that, if we're a good steward of those things, we have an objective to share the gospel with other people. In all reality, we act as conduits of God's grace. This past week, I put some new light fixtures up in the bus garage here, trying to make it a little brighter out there. But I hooked it all up, thought I had it all ready to go, wired it all together, and I went to flip the switch, and guess what happened? One turned on. The other one didn't. So I thought, oh man, what's going on? Did I get a bad light? Took some of the wiring, and you know how you splice wires together with those little wire nuts? Well, one of the wires had slipped out. It didn't quite grab it hard enough and hold it in there. That's all it took. The power couldn't get through, could it? You know, God has made us conduits. Just like those wires, has made us a conduit that he can send his grace through. But when we detach ourselves just one time, just a little detachment is all it takes. It shorts out. God can't use us to do what he desires to do with us. That's part of being a good steward, is to make sure that, you know, just like that wire had to be in contact with that other wire and be joined together with it so that it can flow right on through. Sometimes when we're not good stewards, we don't keep ourselves in good contact with the master, do we? And he can't use us to pass on that grace through us or whatever it is that he wants to do through us. But if we act, if we're doing what we should be as a good steward of God, a faithful steward, we act as conduits of God's grace, and he will give and give and give as we learn to give and give and give. Some of y'all have experienced that. You know exactly what we're talking about here. Some of us are learning what that is. That concept right there. Now we use that idea of a conduit. Sometimes if we're not careful, instead of becoming a conduit or an aqueduct, you can kind of say, where the water can flow through freely there as God desires, sometimes we become a basin. What happens to water when it just sits? Stagnates, doesn't it? Gimme, Lord, gimme, Lord, gimme, Lord, gimme, Lord, gimme, Lord. And we take and we take and we take and we take, but we're never allowing God to use us to give or to do something with what he's given us. You know what we do? Stagnate. We stagnate. Our lives will begin to stagnate for God. And we'll have to stop sending He has to stop sending blessings our way, and he diverts them to another conduit. To someone who will use them faithfully, who will be a good steward over what he gives. That's what we see here in this passage. I'm sure we'll be going through it quite a bit this month or referring to it off and on. But with these stewards here, some of them were good stewards. They went out and took the talents that the Lord had given them and used them wisely and brought back more for the Lord when he came home. One went and hid it. And he was found to be an unfaithful steward. We need to practice stewardship in all areas. We've looked at these, and you know, I'm just going to list them off again. Obviously, our tithe, our talents, our time. We looked at that a little bit last Sunday night. Our treasures, our thought life. You ever thought about that? That belongs to God. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God has made us a steward even over our thoughts that we have. Our testimony, the truth in God's word. We're made a steward over everything, folks. Everything. So as we close here this morning, let me just ask you, think about these things. Remember, God has put us on earth to cooperate in the fulfilling of goals and functions that he's given us to do. Isn't it good to know that God gave us a purpose? Our purpose isn't just to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. Amen. I enjoy where I work, and I hope you do too. But God's given us a higher purpose than just going to work every day. God's given us a higher purpose than just entertainment or, you know, whatever. Now, don't get me wrong. God didn't call us to a boring life, amen? It's an exciting life. He's given us a great purpose. He's given us a higher calling. He saved us and left us here for a purpose. As proper stewards, Let me ask yourself these questions. As a proper steward here this morning, do you find yourselves doing these things? Number one, living to exalt the Savior, to exalt the Lord. That deals a lot with that idea of the issue of ownership. You live your life daily to exalt yourself because this is my life, it's my body, these are my resources, I worked hard for these are my things. Or do we live life, yes, God's blessed us with all these things, but it's all to bring glory and honor to Him, to exalt Him. Do we find ourselves seeking to edify the saints? You know, God commands us to do that as well. To build up one another, to help one another. How many times, especially in the book of Acts, do you see the church getting together and helping the others that can't really make ends meet, or they're having a hard time here, or they're having trouble here? How many times do you see a church getting together? Paul refers to it, says, and he thanks them for their abundant giving toward him, even when they were in great need. Why was that? Because they sought to edify the saints. They lived for it. They were faithful stewards in what God has given them, even when it was just a little bit. They were faithful stewards to help one another, to use it, for God's glory. Do we find ourselves, number three, seeking to evangelize the sinner? Seeking to evangelize the sinner. Yesterday in devotions for the bus meeting, we looked at that verse that says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. You go two verses later and it tells the reason for that, and it is to bring the lost to salvation so that they might be saved. Talking about evangelizing the sinner, why are we to be a good steward of our testimony? That they might be saved. That they also could know the Lord as their Savior. Why are we to be a good steward of the truth? So that we can share it with them faithfully, so that they can know that there is a God that loves them. That there is a God that died on the cross for their sins and shed His blood so that they could be saved, so that they can go to heaven. That's part of being a good steward of that truth. And it leads right into the next point is, do we find ourselves seeking to be a godly example to society? Look at society today, folks. I know we don't like thinking about it, but you hear the news as much as I do, and you see what's going on around us. They need a godly example. Now more than ever, they need a godly example. Your coworkers need a godly example. Your neighbors need a godly example. The gas attendant or the grocery cashier, they need a godly example this week. God's made us a steward over that. What are we doing with it? Let's resolve in our hearts today. If these issues are getting in the way, get them out of the way, right? Ask God to help you with them. Ask God to help you with the idea of who's the owner in your life. This issue of obedience. I know what I should be doing, but doing it is a different thing. Ask God to help you to start being a good steward, to obey Him. And remember the objective of all this. Why do we talk about every year of stewardship? It's not just so God can bless us more. That's a good fruit of it. Amen. But it's also so that we might be able to do more through Him. He might be able to do more through us. And use us to His honor and glory to reach others to the gospel and to set a good example, to bring honor and glory to Him. There's a purpose for it, folks. As we seek to resolve these issues in our lives and we become more faithful stewards, then God will bless us, not just individually, but He'll bless our church as a result of it. Don't we want to see that? Wouldn't you like to see God bless you and your family more this year? Bless our church more this year? A big part of that is being a good steward over what He's given us.